Please read with me from the book of Mark. We'll be reading from Mark chapter 1, starting at verse 29. As soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told Jesus about her. So he went up to her, took her hand, and helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait on them. That evening, after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak, because they knew who he was. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place, where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so I can preach there also. This is why I've come." So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. A man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said. "Be clean." Immediately the leprosy left him and he was cured. Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning. "See that you don't tell this to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." Instead, he went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. As a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places. Yet the people still came to him from everywhere.
Well, good evening. It'd be great to have the passage open. That's Mark chapter 1, verses 29 to 45. And let's join in prayer together as we come to this part of God's word. Let's pray. Our Father, we confess before you our unworthiness before you. You are holy and you are righteous. You are Lord God Almighty. And we are not like you. We fail you in so many ways. We go our own way. And we ask your forgiveness, Lord God, for this. And we thank you for the reality of those words that we've just sung, that our chains are now indeed gone because of the grace that you have lavished upon us in the Lord Jesus. Thank you it is that confidence with which we come this evening to listen to your word, to hear your voice. And we ask our Father that you would grow us more and more in the knowledge and understanding of who you are, and that our love for you may grow and increase. And this we pray for Jesus' sake. Amen. When I was younger, I knew a family whose child had a serious medical condition when she was born. And there were intense kind of medical tests, there was follow-up, there was monitoring over time of her condition and that sort of things. And the parents were told that the only means of fixing this problem was surgery when she was older. And one day, with her parents, she went to see the doctor for one of these routine tests, and the tests were done, and completely inexplicably to the medical staff, the whole medical problem was gone. The doctors were unable to explain how this problem had reversed itself, and this family had asked for God's healing, and their daughter was inexplicably made well. And the topic of physical healing is a big one, isn't it? And it's one on which Christians and those who profess faith in Christ, and I'm using this in a broad sense, is an issue in which people differ, or at least they might arrive at different emphases. And so it's possible to hear my story and say, yes, see, Jesus is the great healer, The parents prayed in faith and their daughter was healed. What else did you expect? That's one response. Or it's possible to say, no, not possible. There is some other rational explanation for this. Something must have physically happened so that the problem disappeared. Or the parents are telling lies. And there's more and more responses besides, isn't there? And invariably, the healing ministry of Jesus raises this question, doesn't it, about physical healing. The question comes up as to whether to expect that Jesus will bring physical healing today. Can we expect that Jesus will bring physical healing today? And I want to suggest to you tonight that as we look through this passage from Mark's Gospel, it's going to provide some helpful principles that we can draw out, which will help us think about this question and come to a response on it. Now, I'm not going to say everything there is to say on this topic, but I think this passage puts in place some important foundations on which to build our understanding of this issue. And so as we begin just going through the passage, I'd like us to notice firstly that Jesus is indeed healer. It's undeniable, isn't it, as you read through this passage, as you read through the Gospels for that matter, that Jesus healed people of physical illness. We see it there, don't we? Simon Peter's mother-in-law in verses 30 and 31. Townspeople from Capernaum, where he was, verse 34. Jesus healed of physical illness as well as drove out evil spirits. And then we come to the man with leprosy in verse 40, and they are all healed by Jesus. And you see, when you think about it, that speaks about not only identity of who Jesus is, he is healer, but it speaks about the authority as well of Jesus. Jesus has authority to heal the sick. In fact, it's interesting that if you go back to Numbers chapter 12 in the Old Testament, we read about an incident of Miriam, Aaron and Moses. And Miriam and Aaron and Moses, or Miriam and Aaron rather, oppose Moses. What they do is they come against him. And God brings his judgment against Miriam where she is made, and we read there, leprous like snow. And Aaron repents and he says to Moses, please don't let her die from leprosy. And then we read in Numbers 12, verse 13, so Moses cried out to the Lord, O God, please heal her. And the result is that the Lord, Yahweh, does. He heals her. And you see, here in Mark 1, we have another leprous man. And Jesus doesn't cry out to his Father, please heal. No, by his own touch, by the command of his own mouth, he says, be clean. And the man was healed. This is the authority of God himself at work we are reading about in this passage. And you see, we asked the question, didn't we? Should we expect that Jesus will bring physical healing today? And I want to say firstly, part of the answer, emphasis on the word part, is that Jesus is healer. As God with the authority of God, he is able to heal. Then, and I see no reason why that has changed now. He is the ascended Jesus. He is Lord of all, and he has authority to do all that he chooses. And so, friends, if we find ourselves in a situation of physical sickness, whatever that is, I believe that it's appropriate that we can echo the words of Moses in Numbers 12. O God, please heal me. And we can pray that for others too. And of course, we know from scriptures that God hears our cry. I referred to the story before and the way that God did that. Now, however that happened, that story of that little girl was very encouraging for that family in their faith. And for that family, it served to highlight that God is powerful and that however he did it, he made that little girl well. The other way to think about this too is we can't forget that God uses medical processes as well to achieve cures and healing. God is sovereign over those things. You and I know people who have been cured of very life-threatening conditions through the ways that they've been treated. And too often, I think, in our Western society, we want to give all glory and praise to the medical profession, to science. Now, no, nothing against doctors, please hear me say that. But ultimately, it's God, isn't it, that is sovereign over those things. It's God who receives the glory. It's God who receives the praise for the healing that he ultimately brings. You see, we can tend to glorify science and medical advancement, but God is over all, and it's he that brings these outcomes. Okay, having said that, I said that that was only part of the answer. Because again, as we go back to the passage, if we look closely, there's some other things that we need to consider here. See, Jesus is healer, but you notice on a couple of occasions in the passage, verses 34, verse 44, that Jesus wants to keep his healing under wraps. Did you notice that? He doesn't allow the demons to say who he is, and he doesn't want the leper to go and tell anyone about his healing. And the question that you sort of think about is why? Why doesn't Jesus just want everybody to know that he is healer? And I think from other parts of the passage we get some indication why. You see, Jesus wants to avoid what I'm going to call the sideshow effect. I mean, you can imagine it, can't you? If someone was healed of a disease in Castle Towers, right up there tonight, in front of hundreds of people, what would happen? I mean, you could imagine the people would be instant celebrities, wouldn't they? Everyone would want to meet up with them. And you see, that's what happens to Jesus, isn't it? Verse 33, the whole town gathers at the door to witness what Jesus is doing. And verse 37, Jesus has gone out by himself to pray, and the disciples look for him, they find him, and they're upset with him. You know, everyone is looking for you, Jesus, and here you are by yourself. Where have you been? You've got to come and do the healing ministry, you know? This is what we're on about here. We see verse 45, as a result of the healed leper spreading the news, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but he stayed outside in lonely places. Yet the people still came to him from everywhere. You see, Jesus heals, and yet he tries to avoid the sideshow effect, you know, just becoming the latest celebrity, if you like. But invariably, that's what happens. And friends, Jesus' attitude of healing, and yet reluctance for the news to spread about him, I think it indicates that there's something deeper going on here. You see, the fact that he prays and stays in lonely places when there's plenty of people to heal, that again indicates that there's something deeper going on here. You see, Jesus is healer. Secondly, I want us to notice that Jesus is healer with a purpose. He is healer with a purpose. The miracles he performs reveal his authority, and the miracles he performs reveal something about the purpose for which he came also. You see, we can't forget what's gone before. Chapter 1, verse 11, the voice from heaven that said, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." And chapter 1, verse 14 to 15, after John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. "The time has come," he said. "The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news." And you see, these miracles, they are the signs of the inbreaking of the kingdom of God into the world. The king is here. The Son of God is at work. And there are four things. That come out of the passage that I think highlight what the purpose of Jesus is as he carries out this ministry of the kingdom. You see, the first thing, number one, He has come to do his father's will. Verse 35, in the midst of the following that he has, the crowds that are wanting to get close to him, Jesus withdraws to a solitary place to pray. And the location is significant. It's solitary. It's alone. It's by himself. And Jesus focuses in prayer. And you can well imagine that he prays that his father will strengthen him for the task which he has. And what is that task? Well, you go back to the last solitary place that he's been in. When the Spirit drove him into the desert. In chapter 1, verse 12. And Jesus praying serves as a reminder of the greater task for which Jesus has come. Ultimately, to defeat the kingdom of darkness. That's why he's come. To defeat the kingdom of darkness through his death on the cross. He's come to be judged in the place of people, to die so that they may live. He's come to do the Father's will. Number two, he heals and he drives out demons in order that people will respond rightly to him. See, we saw that, verses 36 and 37. The disciples, they looked for him and they were upset. They found him all alone. Come on, Jesus, there is healing work to be done. What are you doing here all by yourself? But Jesus, by his response, he indicates that he hasn't come primarily as healer. But he heals in order that people will see who he is and respond rightly in faith to him. What was the passage before? They would respond in repentance toward him, that they would respond in faith towards him, that they would come to him in relationship with him. You see, that's the point. That's why Jesus does this. For example, now we saw in the passage, Simon's mother-in-law, she's healed, and what does she do? She gets up and she serves. She exercises devotion to Jesus. She's not like the crowds who simply get healed and, you know, thanks very much, Jesus, and on we go. My life is now okay. She is with Jesus for the long haul, and that's the reason that Jesus has come. Winning for himself disciples who follow him. Number three. He has come to preach the kingdom. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. That is why he has come. That is what the substance of his ministry is about. You see, in Capernaum, he's healed so many people. But did you notice? It's really incredible, actually. He actually makes a deliberate decision to go somewhere else. Did you notice that? They're going to go to the nearby villages. And Jesus gives us the reason. He says, so I can preach there also. That is why I have come. His ministry consists of the preaching of the kingdom of God in the world. The preaching ministry of Jesus. Number four, he comes to cleanse. We come to this account of the leper. And it has some very significant Old Testament kind of background. You see, there were laws in the Old Testament around what was to happen to the person with leprosy. And when we're talking leprosy, we're actually talking not the modern day kind of equivalent of leprosy, but a kind of scale kind of disease. And people who had this disease, they were considered as part of God's law to be unclean, unholy. They were excluded for a time from God's people. They had to remain outside the camp, where God was present with his people in the tent of meeting. They were unholy. You see, the way that they could be cleansed was through the ministry of the priest in Israel. They had to be healed of the infectious disease, and then the priest would do a ritual cleansing. And you can read more about that in Leviticus chapter 14. And you see, that's what Jesus is referring to here in Mark 1:44. He says, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them. And you see, the point here of what Jesus is saying is, Jesus heals this man, therefore he secures his cleansing, and therefore he guarantees his ability to again enter the presence of God. He brings about cleansing in order that people can enter the presence of God. And so the healing of this man, again, it reinforces Jesus' ministry as one of bringing cleansing from something, that something we'll look at next week, in order that people may enter the presence of God, that they may be holy in order to be in relationship with God. That is the reason Jesus has come. So four things that emphasize what the ministry of Jesus is about, and we'll see more in coming weeks. You see, at that point again, we go back to our question, don't we? Should we expect that Jesus will bring physical healing today? And we've seen he may. He's the one with all authority. But I think where we get into trouble is the expectation that he must. I'm going to say that again. I think where we get into trouble is the expectation that he must. Jesus heals, but the healing has the purpose of pointing to who Jesus is and the point for which he's come, and that is to do the Father's will, to preach the inbreaking of the kingdom of God, to effect cleansing in order that people may repent and believe in him. And you see, there are implications, therefore, for that, for us, I believe, because there are those who profess the name of Christ, who engage in what I think is a sideshow kind of healing. I don't know if any of you have seen, it was in 1992 this movie came out called Leap of Faith. It was a movie about kind of a faith healer. And he goes, you know, into a particular town and he's doing these kind of healings, you know, that kind of thing, in order to receive money. And the reality is, friends, that that movie was actually based on real life kind of people. And it's done in the name of Christ, but underneath there is a motive of money, making money. And it can be highly manipulative. And you can hear statements like, the reason you weren't healed is because your faith is lacking, because your faith is defective. You weren't healed because your faith is defective. And you see, at best, they are pastorally insensitive statements, and I think at worst, that amounts to abuse. Because, friends, nowhere in Scripture does the healings that Jesus do set up the expectation that he will heal. There is nowhere in Scripture that that happens. And I think what we have to do is say, for example, look at the example of the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and following. That's actually 2 Corinthians 12 verse 7 and following. You remember the thing? Paul was given this thorn in the flesh, and most agree that it was some form of physical sickness. And we read there in that chapter that three times Paul pleaded with the Lord to take it away. You see, he recognizes the authority of the Lord to do that. He can. God can take this thorn in the flesh away. But the answer from God was no. Because the Lord says to him, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. There was a purpose behind Paul's suffering, that he might know more and more of the strength and power of God at work in his life. And friends, as much as we long to be free from suffering, from physical suffering, emotional suffering, suffering in whatever way, the reality is that we live in a fallen world, don't we? And we can ask God for healing, and he may choose to answer no. And we can be confident that that is actually for our good, that he says no. And we can also be confident that there is coming a day when he will wipe away every tear from our eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things will have passed away. As we live in this world, we long for that day when healing is guaranteed, don't we? We long for that day when we will see him face to face and he will take away all our sickness and so on. I want to finish with an article written by a lady named Bronwyn Chin. Some of you may know who this lady is. She is the late wife of the Australian director of AFES, Richard Chin. Before she died, she wrote this. It's very confronting. I thank God for the gift of cancer. I don't like being in pain and I don't like having terminal pancreatic cancer. I would like to grow old with my husband and see my kids grow up. But God appears to have a better plan. I know that he is faithful. His plans are the best and do not revolve around me. Acts 13:36 says, "For when David had served God's purpose in his own generation, he fell asleep. And when God has done what he wants through me, I will die in his perfect timing." Why has God given me cancer? Maybe it is to make me repent of my wrongs and to turn to Jesus. It has certainly done this. Maybe it is to make me talk more to my friends and family about Jesus. It has certainly done this. Maybe it is for reasons way beyond my understanding. It is certainly at least this. All I know is that God has given me this gift of cancer to use for his glory. We pray daily for the cancer to miraculously go away. But if God chooses to say no, we can trust him nonetheless. Friends, may we follow her lead. May we ask that God may relieve our suffering because he is powerful to do that. May we trust him in the midst of our pain. May we trust in this Jesus who came to do the Father's will so that we can be cleansed, so that we can know relationship with God. Because friends, that's ultimately where our hope lies, isn't it? In our relationship with Jesus. Let's pray. All glory to you, Lord Jesus, our Lord and Saviour, because you are the one who is powerful and mighty. And thank you that that is the truth today, that we can turn to you in our suffering and that we can indeed ask that you might intervene in the light of that. Our Father, give us the grace in the midst of our suffering to always look to you, to trust you no matter what, to serve you though the difficulty may come, particularly physically in our bodies. We pray, our Father, that you would enable us to be your people, faithful to you, resting in the fact that you are good in every circumstance. Thank you for this reminder from your word, our Lord God, that you are indeed Lord God, our God, and that you are faithful. It's in Jesus' name that we pray these things. Amen.